The first 5 minutes and 22 seconds of my sermon today begin with the video. I'm going to give the choir a chance to get situated. They might see it with you. The theme or sub-theme for this final quarter of the year, we've been building toward it. Shaped to serve, born to serve, risking to serve, and now saved to serve. What did I say?
Saved to serve.
Saved to serve. Today, I want you to think of the word saved not just in terms of saved from sin, but saved alive.
Demetrius Guyton was too young to remember the attack that scarred him for life.
Not ready for the video
yet,
gentlemen.
I've had a lot of skin grafts.
We're going to introduce the sermon by sharing with you a very potent story of a young man who ought to be dead, but was saved that he might serve. Let us pray. Father, grant that what you want us to learn and feel today will be accomplished in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I introduce to you Demetrius Guyton.
Demetrius Guyton was too young to remember the attack that scarred him for life.
I've had a lot of skin grafts, a lot of surgeries as well. I don't have any nasal passages, so I've never been able to smell a day of my life.
He was just 2 months old when his mother tried to kill him by lacing his bottle with hydrochloric acid. She did it to cash in on a $25,000 life insurance policy. Every time Demetrius looked in the mirror, he was reminded of what his mother did.
I hated my mother. I resented her very bad, and it was horrible.
She was sentenced to 15 years for first-degree assault. Demetrius was in and out of foster care until he went to live with his grandmother when he was 5. His childhood was marked by ridicule, abuse, and rejection.
It was very terrible for me growing up because I had to deal with a lot of bullying, a lot of low self-esteem, a lot of everything that come with it, being ostracized and alienated.
Some told him even God didn't care.
You're just a fluke of nature. You're nothing. God cursed you. He hates you.
By his teens, he was using drugs and had joined a gang. He took out his anger on anyone he encountered on the streets.
When I would go out into society, people would begin to stare at me, and I just go up to them randomly and fight. It's like a gratification that I would feel, that I was able to release all of the pain that was down inside of me.
Demetrius was in and out of juvenile detention on various assault and battery charges. As a high school dropout, he never learned to read or write. Then, in 2004, Demetrius caught his girlfriend cheating with another man.
Being rejected like that and betrayed, it took me just to a horrible, horrible place of anger.
Demetrius attacked the man and was arrested and charged with attempted murder. Now 18, he was tried as an adult and given a life sentence.
When I first entered into prison, fear beyond measures. And then I know that all the attention was going to be on me because of my face. Either I have to fight, you know, every day with a bunch of men, or just accept the fact that this is my life.
A Christian inmate befriended Demetrius and started telling him about Jesus, and using the Bible, taught him how to read and write.
Well, my experience when I embarked on reading the Word of God, it came out of being desperate and out of being hungry for Him.
Then, one night, while praying, Demetrius says he heard God speak to him.
I had never heard this voice before in my life, but it came to me and it told me that I love you, that I love you, and I want to use you.
Demetrius began telling other inmates about his encounter with God.
I began to share transparently of how angry I used to be, and how I used to hate Jesus, and how he wasn't real, and how even though I'm in this jungle, he appeared to me and he's real.
One day, a woman evangelist shared her testimony of how she was cellmates with a woman who tried to kill her son.
She was sharing about this lady that had poisoned her son, and she came to a place where she finally forgave herself, and she used that as a testimony of truth to try to empower us to forgive ourselves.
After the meeting, Demetrius talked to the evangelist and shared that the lady was his mother. She told him Jesus had a purpose for his life. Demetrius finally surrendered everything to God.
I fell on my knees and I began to cry out. Tears began to leap out of my eyes. First of all, God, thank you for manifesting yourself to me and showing me that you are real. Second of all, thank you for dying for me. You know, thank you for dying for me and shedding your blood for me. And third of all, forgive me for all of my sins and help me to live for you. And I began to feel a peace over me that was like none other. Joy once I got up, and I promised her that I was going to live for the rest of my life serving Jesus.
After serving 5 years, Demetrius was granted early parole for good behavior. The first thing he did was visit his mother, who was also out of prison, to tell her he had forgiven her.
Immediately, my heart just wept for her. Now she's seeing a son that's literally came from the grave of life and have been resurrected and is serving Jesus. And all I wanted to do was just tell her, look, I love you, I forgive you. And she fell on her knees and began to weep towards Jesus, thanking him that I was alive, thanking him that I had forgiven her.
Today, Demetrius is a full-time evangelist and author. He sees people in all walks of life who need to experience the life-changing power of God's forgiveness and healing through Jesus Christ.
Jesus, he is the ultimate healer. He has the power to go underneath your skin and subjugate all of that which you thought you would never become. He will give you life.
Give God praise. Demetrius and his mother, the woman who tried to kill him, now do evangelism together. Give God glory, folk. Give God glory. Let me take you back to my text, Ephesians 2. Join me there, verses 12 and 13. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13. Now stay with me today, folk. I've got some serious things to say to this congregation. I think that's why the devil sent this weather, so that many of you would not get this. That at that time you were without Christ. Listen to it. Think about what you just viewed. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Think about Demetrius Guyton, and without God in this world. Now rejoice in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought how? Come on, talk to me. Have been brought how? Near by the blood of Christ. One of the most amazing things that happens every day on planet Earth is the birth of a child. I'll never forget watching my third son being born. I'll never forget it. To see the results of the sperm of a male combining with the egg of a female And then through a process of cell division and multiplication, this single-celled entity with an even number of chromosomes from both the mother and father goes through several stages of development, and the end result is a smaller version of the two mammals that produced it. That's a layman's way of describing birth, not a doctor's way. And all this takes place in the womb of a woman. Stay with me. The embryo is attached to the female species via a very amazing piece of equipment called a placenta. Through that, the child is fed. The mother of the blood of the mother, the blood of the baby, never mix. And yet in that little cradle, the womb, through the placenta, the baby grows and is born. Now, what I've just described is just half the story. The Bible dignifies this biological process, this consequences of the mating of a male and female. And the Bible speaks of this birth as something intentional. What word did I say? Intentional. Your birth, Tony, was intentional. See, I don't believe, folk, in the concept of illegitimate children. Nothing God does is illegitimate. Come on, somebody. Oh, I know what you're trying to say when you say that, but that's incorrect. If God puts breath in it, it's legitimate. It's intentional. It is God's will. Genesis 1:26 starts the process. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. You've read that. And then Genesis 1:28 puts God's blessing on the process. And God said, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and do what? Multiply. And so these two texts launch us into understanding that the birth of a human being, yes, the birth of Demetrius Guyton, was ordained by God and a part of his plan. Life in the womb is God's doing. Therefore, you can say without any hesitation, I am somebody. Go on and say it. Y'all sound pitiful. Say it. You know, accident. You're here because God wants you here. Boy, y'all are pitiful this morning. Rear back on it. Claim it. Walk in it. Inhale it. Breathe it. Your existence is a part of the plan of God. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 really gets detailed. It says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and in thy book all my members are written. Psalm says, not only am I part of God's plan, that God has all the details of me. My size, my weight, my makeup, my history. It's all in God's book. I'm all a part of God's plan. And then Jeremiah 1:5 seals it by saying that before I was formed, God says, I in the belly, I knew thee. So you didn't get that part. Before you were formed, God knew you. So if God knew you before you were formed, then you were part of God's plan before you were conceived. I'm trying to get somebody in this room excited about the fact that I'm no accident. Now, you know I'm setting you up, but stay with me. Before I was formed. So that process I just described that takes place in the womb, The Bible is saying, no, Henry, your existence goes before that, because you have always existed in the mind of God. Come on, Armstrong. I need some help from somebody. You, from eternity. Avondale, God has always anticipated my arrival. Nothing is hid from him. All things are known to him. So February 3rd, 1942, General Hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio, on Vine Street in a blizzard, when Henry came forth, the Lord said, we've been waiting on him. Hey, here he is. So since you're all so stiff, I'm going to celebrate. I'm somebody. Yes, I'm somebody. A part of God's plan. I'm going somewhere. Going somewhere. So life comes into existence. Life comes into existence at the behest of God. He still breathes into the nostrils the breath of life, and the breath is given intentionally with forethought. Somehow God decided that it was important that I exist. Now the question, Rita, is why? Why me? What's so special about me? Well, I can tell you one thing that makes me special. God wanted me to be born. Let's start with the simple stuff. The purpose-driven life. Can we put that up there? Did we get that? Purpose-driven life? Okay, I'll read it. God was thinking of you long before you ever thought about him. Huh? Yeah. His purpose for your life predates your conception. He planned it before you existed. The purpose of your life fits into a much larger cosmic purpose. What's the purpose? What's the purpose? Revelation 13 and verse 8. Go there. The Bible says, all that shall worship him, all that dwell on earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. The Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Now we know this phrase applies to Christ. But in the context of this sermon, work with me. One Bible translates it, the Lamb who was destined to be killed before this world was created. Now remember, our subject is saved to serve. What is the subject?
Saved to serve.
Revelation 13:8 challenges us to consider that destiny is established before birth, not just for Jesus. Purpose is carved out for all of us. The disciples said, I am crucified with Christ. That is, we are born to die into Christ. And so the mission of the church was mine before I was born. If the Lord allowed me to be born and then to become a part of his church, then God's plan for me was always that I be a part of his church. Amen. Therefore, God's plan for me was that I always be a part of the mission of the church. Amen. Therefore, the reason why I was born was to be a part of the mission of the church. Is anybody listening? Amen. You were expected, anticipated. God needed you, Charlene, to sing in the choir. Nicole, he needed you to be in the praise team. And you see, these things we do that we take so much credit for, the fact is, you're just acting out God's purpose. There was nothing about me that wanted to be a preacher. Nothing. They don't make no money. They move all over the place. Come on, y'all. There's no way in the world I would have chosen to be a preacher. When I was born, I could not digest food. And so for the first 3 weeks of my life, my mother, to keep me alive, had to dip her finger into molasses. And my little mouth would suck on that finger. And that was the only thing I could keep down. When I was 9, I contracted my first evidence of serious lung disease, which I still live with. I coughed for the first part of a whole year. Missed the entire fourth grade except for 3 months. But I was a smart little guy, so they passed me on to the fifth grade. And then finally, in my teenage years, I rebelled against the church and spent some time doing some stuff that ain't none of your business. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to entertain you. And then in my 18th year, the Lord began to draw me back to the church, called me to ministry. Now, my family and I thought the call to the ministry was something totally unexpected. But I'm saying to you today, Lennox, I was born to be in the ministry. I didn't choose. God chose me. See, your presence in the church, people talk about when I found the Lord. The Lord wasn't lost. You were. I get so tired of people talking about when I found Jesus. Found Jesus, he wasn't lost. He's always known where he was. You need to talk about the day that Jesus claimed you. But what I'm saying is, you were claimed before you were born. You were always a part of his purpose. You were always, in other words, you were saved life, preserved life, that you might be saved. So your function for being alive is to be saved. Are you with me so far? Your reason for living is not manifest in what you own and what you have. Your reason for living is to be what God brought into existence to be. The world tends to measure our value materially. God only measures your value spiritually. Now, the next sentence is going to bother you, but I mean it. You ain't worth nothing unless you fulfill God's purpose for you. See, your existence is not your choice. Your existence is God's choice. There's a very interesting text in the Bible, continuing the parallel to Jesus. It's found in Revelation 12. Go there. And I'm going to show you something in this text. Revelation 12 goes like this, starting in the very first verses. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Listen. And the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Listen. And she being with child. What What was the condition of the woman? With child, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Follow this text. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Everybody's attention. This passage, we Adventists love to preach as a description, and we're right, of the church and the birth of Christ. We're right. And the dragon is the devil, and he sought through Herod to wipe out Jesus before he fulfilled his mission. Right? Take it further. Take it further. Take it further. If you really understand this text, then you know that every time a woman is pregnant with a baby, we ought to be praying, because that same devil is waiting to catch the baby as soon as it is born. Is everybody listening to me? Every one of you women who've ever delivered a child know that in the hospital, in the room, in the car, wherever you had that baby, there was an evil angel assigned by Satan to grab your child before he ever or she ever grew up, to make sure that that child never fulfilled its mission. And if you're here today, it's because God intervened. You should have never grown up, Cecil. Should have never met Tara. Never. Because if God had had his way, He wants a young man to grow up in the church and become faithful in the church and work for you. No way in the world, because you see, the Satan has more vision than you have. We just have babies, but Satan sees another client. And I'll take you further. Every time a human baby is born, the devil gets nervous. Just like he did when Mary got pregnant, he gets nervous. This is another child that may damage his kingdom. So what I'm going to do, I'll wipe Henry right out before he ever preaches a sermon. I can't have Anwar directing no choirs and composing songs. I can't let that happen. Souls might be saved. So when your mother gave birth to you, my friend, the devil was standing there to catch the child. Is the church listening to the pastor? Yes. This thing is serious. This thing is serious. There's a birth every 10 seconds. So the devil is busy. Each birth can be trouble for the enemy. So he waits. Now watch it. In the case of Demetrius, he waited with an angry mother. But he may have waited for you with poverty, ignorance, heathenism, disease, malice, war, abuse, molestation, injustice, racism. Anything to make your growing up distort you so that God's purpose for you never occurs. Let me put it very simply. If you're sitting here right now today and you got any sense at all, you ought to say amen. Am I telling the truth, church? Because he's not just interested, folk, in destroying you. He wants to make you so messed up that you can't tell right from wrong. If you can read a Bible, you ought to say, thank you, God, I can read a Bible. If you have a heart that still will give praises to God, thank the Lord that you still can give praise, because all Satan, every, and think of, some of you sit there Think about some of the stuff, some of you young people, think about the stuff you've been through already. These are not just accidents. There's a war going on over you. And the devil is afraid you might actually become what God has in mind. Drugs and DVDs and all kind of foolishness and stuff just to keep you, because you, see, and once you were born, the devil got nervous. Hey, here comes another one. Because he knows that God gives life for a purpose. And he knows the purpose is not to bless him. You were not born to be lost. You were born to be saved. And so you need to pray that the Lord will make you submissive to his purpose for your existence. And that's why, folk, we shouldn't just pray for things. See, if you're praying for a new car, let me explain it to you. If you're praying for a new car, you need to ask God first if having a new car fits his plans for you. Hello? See, before you pray for a mate, you want to get married? Okay. But you need to ask God, is marriage the best way for you to be saved? That's a very weak amen. Not much enthusiasm in that. See, listen, prayers for things can be easily answered. God can always supply things, but you need to make sure that the things you pray for are in agreement with God's plan to save you. See, I would have never prayed to be a pastor. I told you why. Let me say it again. You don't make no money. I have to move all the time. Let me say it again. That's why. I don't want to do that. I was going to be an engineer. Top student in math and physics in the state of Ohio. Top. Dr. Lachey, top. Don't mess with me. Physics, chemistry, science. I was on it. Had my plans laid out. Here I stand. Happy as a lark. Happy as a lark. But I wouldn't, hey, I wouldn't have prayed for it. See, what I'm saying is, some of the things you're praying for, you need to add, Lord, if this is the best way for you to save me. Maybe you never got the degree because God said, if that person gets the degree, they're going to get haughty and high-minded. I won't be able to save them. Supposing, I'm almost done. Supposing God needs you to be poor that you might be saved. Huh? See, look at Demetrius. Face all messed up. But now he's saving souls into the kingdom of God. Supposing the Lord needs you to be sick to be saved. I live with an incurable lung disease. Sometimes when I walk out of this pulpit, since I've been your pastor, my lungs are aching and my chest is sore. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, I have decided that the Lord knew that if Henry Wright turned out to be a decent preacher, really able to propel the word and the word of, from the pulpit, really begin to gain a reputation that if he did that without some limitation, he might get high and haughty and self-proud and self-confident. But now he knows he cannot preach unless God's Spirit gives him power and strength. He can't hit my lungs, can't preach. These lungs don't preach. You should see a picture of my lungs on a X-ray machine. It's a miracle I can breathe. They never open up more than 45%. That's on a good day. Hey! Don't get me started, y'all. What I'm saying to you is, it's not about Henry. It's about God. And once you're in his purpose, nobody can stop you. But as long as you're operating on your agenda, he may need you to be sick to glorify his name. Or uneducated by the world's measurements to be of you. He may need you to be crippled. He may need you to be single. I knew there'd be no amens to that. Not Narian. So I'll say it. Amen. He may need you to be fired from your job. See, the thing is, since God gave you existence, since God gave you life, then the life is God. Stop telling God what to do with the life he gave. You're saved to serve. This thing is real, isn't it? That's why the devil wanted to keep the saints home today. But you got it. Call him. Just call him. Tell him you missed it. See, I've got to set the tone before we get into this quarter. I've got to make it clear to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there's something going on here that maybe you've not considered. And what's going on here is that there was an eternal plan before your great-grandparents were born that had to do with you. And God has been waiting on you to arrive that you might fit into his cosmic purposes. And you are meandering and fumbling and stumbling around trying to have your own. You've never paused and asked the Lord, why did you give breath to me? I said a birth takes place every 10 seconds. A death takes place every 14 seconds. So I've been preaching. Thousands have died. But it wasn't you. See, it wasn't you. So why? Why do you deserve another day? What's so special about you that you can see? How come you can hear? Why is it that your leg's working? Why? Why do you have parents? Why? Because God, in his divine plan, has shaped and molded you for his purpose, and he keeps on waiting for you to get it. And every year, or every 2 years at TPC, Lennox Henry, we come around to election time, officers and people sitting around, you know, acting like there's something special. You know, they ask me to be a deacon. And I said yes. Like you're doing somebody a favor. Is anybody getting my drift? But I'll serve on the ushers. I mean, they need ushers, and you know, so they've asked me to serve. You ain't doing nobody no favor, but yourself, folk. The church doesn't need you; you need the church. We have the wrong spirit. Our spirit is totally wrong and messed up. And that's why, see, that's why when we don't get returned to office, we get an attitude. Because we thought the office was ours. Totally twisted and messed up. We our spirit of service is distorted. It's an honor to be asked to do anything in the church. To stand at the door, to shake anything. It's an honor. You ain't doing nobody no favor. Act like we own it. And the Lord is sitting up there saying, don't they know that the only reason why they're breathing is because of me? And then they're going to act like they're doing a favor to serve me? How's this sermon doing so far? Wonderful word from the pastor. So it may well be that from God's standpoint, you being poor as Joe's turkey, you never getting the house that you wanted, or the degree you sought for, or the person you wanted to marry, it could well be that in each of those cases, God is saying, I'm moving them closer to salvation. Because some things you're praying for, you couldn't handle if God gave it to you. And things you're not praying for are exactly the things, you know, you're a pastor. I'm so hard-headed and stubborn that the only way the Lord could save me was to make me a pastor. He just dropped the whole church on me. I'm going to put him on his knees. How? Because when he gets to be a pastor, and he realizes the condition of the saints, that boy going to learn to pray. Are you listening to me, folks? See, so I don't consider being the ministry any great thing except as that God wants me to do it. I ain't better than you. In fact, I'm worse off than you. I'm no more righteous than you. In fact, I'm probably a bigger sinner than some of you. See how quiet you are? Pastor's not supposed to be a sinner. Hey, read your Bible. You haven't read your Bible. Moses was a murderer. Come on now. David was a philanderer. Hey! And Peter was a big mouth blowhard. That's why he called them to the ministry. Because the ministry saves them from themselves. Somebody say amen. Amen. Smart guy. Smart guy. Put me in this thing. So now I have to pray. Have to return tithe. How can I tell you to return tithe and I'm robbed him? He made sure he put the squeeze on me. Huh? That I might be saved. I need somebody to say amen. Amen. And that's why he put the squeeze on you. That's why some of you were born in the Adventist church. Because you'd have been too hard-headed and stubborn to change. See, I'm folk who can be a Baptist, become an Adventist, proud of them. But some of you were born in the church because you wouldn't change from nothing. Why you were born in it. I'm telling you like it is, Cecil. God knows some of us don't know how to change, so he put you in it, started you off in the right church. What a mighty God we serve. My closing text is in Hebrews. Hebrews. There in this pantheon of faith. The Bible describes all the various things that people who serve God will go through. It's a marvelous piece of writing over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the faith chapter. And at the end of the chapter, starting verse 24, Hebrews 11, verse 24, here's what we read. By faith, Moses, when he was become of age, refused to be called the son of Abraham, Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, is seemingly the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. And then verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab paints all these people. Now verse 32, and what more shall I say? And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samson the prophets, who through faith did what, church? Read it to me. Subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, out of what?
Weakness.
Talk to me, out of what?
Weakness.
Were made how?
Strong.
Became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Look at that church, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Saved to serve. Are you ready? Come on now. Are you ready? It's going to get rough out there. Are you ready? Some of you have not yet found out why you were born. Haven't figured it out yet. You're still on your own agenda. But I got great news for you. God has an agenda for you that will blow your mind. In the last days, some of you are going to do amazing things. Some of you have courage you didn't know you had. Some of you sitting here right in this church right now, you're going to testify. You're going to stand tough and testify to the glory of God. There are people sitting here in this room right now who are going to preach sermons for the glory of God. Some of you sitting here are going to stand before judges. Some of you are going to see your family finally come into the church. Some of you sitting here are going to discover that some of the worst moments in your life were the best moments in your life as God was preparing you for the best moments in your life. Thank you, Lord. Saved to serve. That little boy, maimed and distorted, Demetrius Guyton, left looking like a little monster. Only a God could take a tragedy like that between a mother and a son and produce an evangelistic team. Only God. Only give him glory. Only God. Now, the son, messed up by the mother, and the mother, who messed up the son, going around the nation preaching to God. Only God. I don't care what your situation is. Don't you put any limits on God. I don't care how you're feeling about yourself right now in this service. Don't put limits on God. God can fulfill in you the reason why he gave you life. You have been saved that you might serve.
So send I you, by grace made strong to triumph o'er host of hell, o'er darkness, death, and sin. My name to bear, and in that name to conquer. So send I you, my victory to win. So send I you, to take two souls in bondage, the word of truth that sets the captive free, to break the bonds of sin, to loose death's fetters. So send I you, to bring the lost to me.
Let me share with you how odd God thinks. When I was a boy, I was so afraid of crowds. You couldn't get me to get up in front of a church and say a verse. I used to get so nervous, I would forget everything I was supposed to say. So they stopped putting me in Sabbath school programs. You know, 13th Sabbath, I'd always forget my part. Let me tell you how God thinks. I've been preaching now for almost 52 years. And I still get so nervous before I preach. Like today, hands sweat, mouth gets dry, and I get palpitations. Now you can't tell. And I have pleaded with him to take that away. I still get nervous. I still sweat hands. I still get dry mouth. It keeps me dependent on him. Now, what's the lesson? The reverse of what you think you can do is what you can do. So some of you saying, I can't do this and I can't do that. That's exactly what God wants you to do. As long as you're only choosing the stuff you feel comfortable doing, you've not fulfilled God's will. You have to try that thing that scares you to death.
Have mercy. Have mercy.
That's why you're not saying amen. Yeah. You have to try that thing that scares you to death. Then you'll find out what God can do. Now tell you what he has done for me. As soon as I get up, the nervousness goes away. Every Sabbath, I'll be sitting there. Want y'all to get done praying. Sing them hymns. Please get it over with. Lord help you. Because I'm sitting over there in that corner dying. Hey, come on. Anwar, can you find some way to shorten up the service, man, so I can get on up? And then I get up. Happens every Sabbath. Makes me feel so good. If I can just get up here, when I get right here, it all goes away. Hey! It all goes away. Every Sabbath, it all goes away. Tell me what you can't do. So here we go. Here's the appeal. You want to trust God to fulfill in you his plan. You're not even sure what it is. You just know you ain't fulfilled it yet. And you want to trust God. You need more trust in God Because you've been telling them all your life, you've been arranging your own limits and measurements. And God keeps waiting for you to let Him fulfill why He gave you breath. And you want to trust God more to do that. You understand the appeal? Stand on your feet if that's where you are. Another verse, Anwar.
So send I you my strength to know in weakness, my joy in grief, my perfect peace in pain, to prove my power, my grace, my promised presence. So send I you eternal fruit to gain.
Now the next Sabbath I'm assigned to preach, and you see me sitting over there, don't come over me and ask me, am I nervous? Answer is yes. Shut up, leave me alone, pray for me, so I can make it up from the pulpit. We all have our little stuff. Are you with me? For God. Second appeal. You've never even given yourself to God to be used. You've been a bench warmer all your life in the church. All you do is come, sit, say amen, and go home. And you really would like to be more involved. Year after year, church election takes place. They ask you to do something, you start making excuses. Now, some of you are office holders. God bless you. We need you. I'm talking to the person who's never, ever been an usher, been a greeter, nothing. Don't sing, nothing. Just come, sit, say amen. It won't do. I tell you in love, it won't do. God did not put breath in your body to fill a bench. He needs witnesses.
Amen.
And so today you're going to make an honest confession that you will move from the bench to the field. Want me to pray for you? Raise your hand. I see them all over. Raise your hand. See, you thought I was going to ask you to come forward. You breathe a sigh of relief. Keep it up. Get your hand up. Get it on. The Lord is looking at these hands. Because God's going to call upon you for next year. Final appeal. You want to join the church? You want to come on down here and join the church? Bible studies, prepare for baptism. And you're here right now. Come or fill out a card. Either come or fill out a card, one or the other. Everybody's praying. Let's see if somebody comes, or at least they'll move to fill out a card. Everybody's praying. Just pray right now. Closing seconds. Closing seconds. You're going to fill out a card or you're going to come down front? Your decision today. Give yourself to Christ. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Saved alive that I might serve. Demetrius Guyton's got nothing on us. We all have been scarred. We all have been marred. We all have been crippled in some kind of way. And as you made him your servant, we want to be your servants. Fully committed to telling the story of the love of Jesus. Bless us to this end, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. May be seated. Are you glad you came on out to church today? Give God glory. Put your hands together.